And then chapter 9, 21 verses, and they contain six of the seven trumpets, that the next series of judgments that is going to be unleashed upon the world. Of course, this is after the rapture of the church. We'll do a little quick review before we get into the message, since it's been a while, a little bit of time since the last time we taught from the book of Revelation. So we'll catch you up a little bit, review a little bit, and then try to do chapters 8 and 9. And so if you could stand for the reading of the Bible, Revelation chapter number 8, we'll read all of chapter number 8, and then I'll read parts of chapter 9 a little bit later in the message. Verse number 1, Revelation chapter 8, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And somebody said that's proof there's not teenage girls in heaven. Amen. I said somebody said that. I didn't say I said that, but I certainly was willing to repeat it. Amen. Verse 2. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar. This is interesting, by the way, verse 3 through 6. Think about this. Another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints, with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And so these are offered to God. Verse 4, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Verse number 7, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Verse 8, the second angel sounded, and it was, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Then in verse 10, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Verse 12, and the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Thank you, Lord, that we can be reminded that we're just not reading a book written by men, but we're reading a book delivered by God. And so, Lord, as we have these prophetic words, this book that allows us to look through the telescope of prophecy and to see things that have not yet happened, Lord, I pray that it would help us, as I prayed before, stir us as Christians. May we be busy in spreading the gospel. There's no reason that anyone has to go through these things, Lord. God, I want to thank you that you're first and foremost a God of love. And you prove that when you send your son to die on the cross for our sins. But Lord, sometimes, Lord, in some places, in some churches, there's so much emphasis on the love of God, Lord, that we also need to be reminded that you're a holy God and a righteous God. And be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's a fearful thing, the Bible tells us, a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. And Lord, when you've given so much and you sent Jesus Christ, your precious Son, and he gave so much, suffered so much, Lord, the great price that was paid for our sins, Lord, and when you from heaven see men walk the blood of Christ and your love and mercy and grace, walk it underfoot, Lord, there is a line where we are introduced, dear God, to a God of judgment, a holy God, a righteous God, a just God. And so, Lord, thank you that you've provided each and every one of us a way that we don't ever have to experience the things we're going to talk about tonight. But, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us as Christians to be motivated to spread the gospel so others can know. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. If you want to go back to Revelation chapter 1, do not worry. I'm not reteaching seven chapters tonight. But if you got a good study Bible, Scofield, I think his notes are very helpful if you have a Scofield Bible. And I think a lot of his notes here, I would just say a hearty amen to. I think he's done a good job in breaking down the book of Revelation. And in chapter 1, of course, we have Jesus appearing to John, and he's on the Isle of Patmos. They've isolated him there, and he is then given this book to write. And so we have the appearance of Jesus Christ to John, and then he's told him, I want you to write what you're seeing right now. I want you to write the things that happen, the things that are, and the things that will be. And then chapter 2 and 3, we see seven letters written to seven churches. And so these are dictated by Jesus Christ to these churches. And again, John writes them down and mails them and sends them to these seven churches. This represents the church age. In chapter 4, we start out the chapter with this verse. After this, I looked, and behold, the door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show these things which must be hereafter. And this, of course, is a picture of the rapture of the church. All right, the church age is over. You won't see the word church appear for the rest of the book of the Revelation. And now those of us that are saved are going to be raptured up, as the Bible predicted, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, chapter number 5, as Jesus promised in John chapter 14, verse number 1 through 4. And the angels reminded the apostles of the promise of Jesus to come back in Acts chapter number 1, and we studied all of these things. But once the rapture occurs in chapter 4 and 5, we are then taken to heaven, and we get to see what is happening in heaven. And then in chapter number 6, we are being brought back down to earth to see what is happening to the people that are on earth. So again, I won't reteach 4 and 5, but we see the throne of God. We see the saints before the throne of God. We see the appearance of Jesus Christ, who is worthy to open the book. And Jesus steps forth and takes the book that has seven seals. Each of these seals represent a judgment that's going to come upon the earth. So now we're in chapter 6. We're almost to 8 and 9, chapter number 6. We see the seven seals begin to be opened. And each one of them, of course, contains a judgment. And so we begin with the white horse. Come on. Then we see the red horse. And then we see the black horse. And then we see the pale horse. And verse 8, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And so then we see the fifth seal, and the mark we begin to talk about, because this also is contained in chapter 7. We talk about the saints of God that are being saved during the tribulation period and how they are being martyred. Matter of fact, in chapter 7, I'm jumping a little ahead, but we see in this chapter 144,000 Jewish men that are given a mark in their foreheads, and they're given the ministry during the tribulation period of spreading the gospel. I'll tell you, God's grace is amazing. And even through the tribulation period, he's still sending people to witness. 144,000. Later on, the two witnesses. Last of all, he sends an angel that is seen and heard, and he goes to every nation and proclaims the gospel. You know, folks, you know, you hear people sometimes say, well, if this is all real, why don't God just show himself down here? He will at some point. They'll see supernatural things, and they still won't believe. And, you know, if you won't believe the Bible, you would find a way to explain away an angel or appearance of God or anything else. You're going to believe the Bible or you're not, you know. And so there it is. And so in chapter number 6, we have the six seals. And then in chapter number 8, we see the seventh seal is open. So you may have noticed when we get to the end of chapter number 6, that just 6 of the 7 seals have been opened. Now we're going to start in chapter 8 and 9, and the 7th seal is going to be opened. And by the way, you think about this. It starts with this verse, which I just think is ominous. If you look at verse number 1 in chapter 8, and when he had opened the 7th seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Now, remember what we've already seen going on in heaven? You remember those beasts that fly in front of the throne of God and proclaim, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And we've heard and seen the worshiping of the 24 elders representing all of the saints of God. And you've seen them singing a new song. I mean, folks, heaven's kind of a noisy place. And a lot of good things are happening in heaven. But think about this. When that 7th seal is opened, all of a sudden, you think all of these things go quiet. Angels will sound these trumpets that will unleash these judgments, but there is a silence in heaven for the space of a half an hour. That means for 30 minutes, all of God's angelic creations, think about this, all of the raptured saints, everything stops and they stand in awe, silent awe, at the judgments that are about to be unleashed upon the earth. Folks, you'll see that every group of judgments become more and more intense and more serious. And we'll get to the last set of judgments where the wrath of God, the Bible uses this phrase, is poured out without mixture. Now you'll see, and you probably already noticed that some of the judgments, this has affected a third of the earth, a third of mankind. And so you know what? It's still, it's not wrath, okay? That's unmingled. There's still wrath mingled with a little mercy in hopes that people will believe, in hopes that people will turn, in hopes that people will be convinced that, hey, this Bible's real. This is true. You better accept Christ even if it does cost you your life here on earth. You better take this thing serious. And so we get into these this seventh seal, which is and contains the 7 trumpets. Now, these 7 trumpets are a new series of judgments. And we read about 4 of the trumpets in chapter number 8. Now, I mentioned this. I won't spend a lot of time on it. But we read from verse 2 to verse number 6 that before, you notice verse 6, and the 7 angels which had the 7 trumpets prepared themselves to sound. But before that, we see in verse 3, another angel, we're introduced to the 7 angels. In verse 2, another angel came, okay, before the 7 blow the trumpets, another angel comes, and the Bible says, verse 3, and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And a golden censer is simply a container that could contain something like frankincense, that would contain some type of incense. And so he's holding a container full of incense. Think about this. And there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of, I like this, all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers, there it is again, the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And I want you to stop and think about that. You ever wonder about all those prayers that never got answered? You ever wonder about all of the times throughout all of the history of the church when it seems like the devil was getting away with it? When it seemed like evil was winning? When it seemed like wickedness was, you know what? Lord, why don't you do something? How many times throughout all of the centuries have we come to God because of an injustice or because evil seemed to be winning or prevailing, and we cried out? And sometimes you think, where's the answer to all of those prayers? You know what? They've been stored up in a censer. Right. Now you think about this. All of the crying out, all of the injustices. You know, I tell people sometimes they feel like, well, preacher, it's just not right. Evil seems to win and the devil seems to get by with so much. And this person did this and they got by with it. And this person did this and life's just not fair. Well, wait a minute, folks. One of these days, God's going to balance the books. Right. And we see that this angel, I believe, stores up all of the prayers of all of the saints. You think about those martyrs through the years, you know, that died for the cause of Christ. And the very last thing on their lips was a prayer to God, you know. And it must have seemed like how did the devil win again? How did he get by with those things? And you think about that. Well, God stored them all up. And verse 4, the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God. Look at this, out of the angel's hand. So I'm picturing this censer that's containing the incense, containing the prayer, emptying itself out before God. So now he stands there, watch this, when it's all done, with an empty censer in his hand. But wait a minute, it's not going to stay empty. Look at verse number 5. It's almost like this is a pre-war. This is a warning world. It's about to come. Okay, all these prayers are about to get answered. All of the things that seem so unjust. You know what? God's about to balance the book. Because what does he do with this empty censer? Verse 5. The angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar. And what did he do? He turns around then and cast it into the earth. And listen, as a result, there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And you know what? It was almost like that was the shot over the bow. Hey, world, get ready. It's coming. And right after that, verse 6, think about that. Right after that, and the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. And so I wanted to point that out. I think that was very significant. I think God has given us something that I hope will be an encouragement to all of us. Because, folks, I realize sometimes it does seem like that the devil wins and there's so many things that happen and it seems like sometimes evil prevails and the prayers of God's saints for justice seems unheeded. Hey, all of them prayers are being stored up. And this is when God just simply draws a line and says, I've been patient. I've been loving. You know what? I've been long-suffering. I've showed mercy and grace and mercy and grace. But folks, sometimes I want you to hear what I have to say. Sometimes God is so misrepresented. I hear people say things, well, you know, your God is supposed to be a loving God. So, you know, a loving God wouldn't send people to help. Well, God, certainly one of his attributes is love. By the way, we better be glad. We better be glad. But folks, listen to me. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. And God is a God of holiness. And God is a God of justice. And God is a God that will not be mocked. He's patient. I mean, more patient than any of us would have been. Come on now. And yet there comes a line in a time where God simply looks at the earth and said, I've listened. You know, think about this. All right, just give you just a quick thought here, okay? You might just pay attention. Those of you that work out in the workaday world, if you just pay attention in one day's time, how many times you hear somebody uses God's name in vain in one day's time that you hear. I mean, if you had a little clicker on your belt and just walked around and listened to Americans and how many times they just use God's name in vain. Look right up here. You don't think God hears that? The Bible says God will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Okay, I shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. God will not hold him guiltless. And it just seems, you know, folks, God is so patient. Think about this. If you hear it a dozen times tomorrow, which you'll probably hear it more than that. I'm sorry. I wish it wasn't true, but I'm sorry. You know, and you know how many times God hears it?
Yeah, right.
You know how many times in just the United States, let's just take Greene County. How many times tomorrow somebody will use God's name? All right, let's make it the state of Indiana. Let's make it the United States of America. And God listens to people blaspheme his name over and over and over and over, and yet he withholds judgment. Okay, don't talk to me about, well, a loving God wouldn't. A loving God has already been merciful to America. You know what? A loving God, he doesn't have to prove anything about his love. He sent his only begotten son to die for our sins. But there comes a point in time where, you know what, we're just going to, come on, cuss and sin our way into judgment. Because there is a line where God just simply says, that's enough. Then we get into the seven trumpets, and they are introduced to us beginning in verse 7. Now, a lot of these we'll be able to cover because, folks, they're one verse or two verses, and they really don't need a whole lot of explanation. The Bible just simply tells us these are the judgments. As each trumpet sounds, these are the different judgments that will come. It would be good for us, though, to think about this as I'm kind of going through them one by one in a timely fashion. You know what? I want you to imagine living on earth. Okay? You didn't go up in the rapture. Suppose you're not saved. Wait a minute. Maybe you ought to think about some of your family members, and they're still here on earth. What about your next door neighbor? Come on, what about the people you work with? I mean, let's let something stir our hearts, because folks, you know, sometimes there's a fascination of this where I think that there ought to be something more than just a fascination. I think there ought to be something that strikes our heart that says we need to get the gospel out. Amen. Verse number 7, the first angel sounded. Think about this. And there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass burnt up. So we have in each of these, we have the judgment, and then we have the result of the judgment, the real life result of the judgment. So folks, this is hail, fire. Now think about this. Why would God send hail and fire and then mingle it with blood? Now we've all been in a hail storm. I don't think we've been hail and a firestorm. We've seen lightning. But we're talking about, folks, Bible talking about hail and fire being rained down upon the earth, mingled with blood. Now, why do you suppose that God would do that? I don't know. Maybe it ought to be rained down upon America because of over 63 million unborn babies that have been slaughtered, whose innocent blood is crying for justice. God hears it. Hail, fire mingled with blood. The result of this judgment is one third part of the trees burnt up. And then you get this little phrase, and all green grass. So you've got a third of the trees burnt up because of this, and all of the grass of the earth is scorched. Now think about the ramifications of that, okay? Second trumpet, okay, verse number 8. The second angel sounds, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. So this is a judgment that for the most part is going to come upon the oceans and the seas. And the Bible says it were as it were, and you see that phrase, as it were, or as or like a lot of time in the book of the Revelation. John has seen this, and he's trying to relate it to something, describe it in a way that we can understand what he's seen. And so he says, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. I mean, you could say, well, preacher, is this a meteor from outer space? I don't know. It very well could be. I know what the result is, though, because the Bible tells us exactly what the result is. One third part of the sea becomes blood. One third part of the creatures of the sea die. And a third part of the ships are destroyed because of this. Can you imagine reeling folks from hail? Think about this. Fire mingled with blood, burning up a third of the trees and all their green grass. And before you can hardly breathe, catch your breath from that, here comes a meteorite or something like that, a great mountain burning with fire that hits into the sea, and it turns a third of the part of the sea becomes blood. A third part of the creatures die. A third part of the ships destroyed. Look right up here. I'm not diminishing 9/11, but this is going to make 9/11 look like a picnic. If 9/11 threw America into the hysteria it threw it into, can you imagine what's going on in the world right now when all this is happening, folks? Think about that. And then all of a sudden, as people are trying to report on this and try to recover from this, and the news of this is spreading, and all of a sudden, verse 10, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. And the name of the star is called Woodward, a wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. By the way, the word wormwood simply means bitter. It means a bitter calamity. And so a great star from heaven that goes on to say, and many men died of the waters. Many men, we're not given a number of percentage, just many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Now, all of a sudden, it's one thing for the oceans and the seas to be affected. Now, we're talking about the drinking water. We're talking about fresh water supplies are now being affected. And a great star from heaven and a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the water are made bitter. You say, preacher, many men died because of the bitter waters. Well, why are they drinking it? Because they don't have a source of fresh water anymore. You get thirsty enough, you'll drink something, you'll try something, and they're going to become sick and die from it. Now that's happening, folks. We get to verse number 12. By the way, now you begin to understand why there was silence in heaven for half an hour. Because you know what? All of a sudden, everybody's contemplating, everyone that was left, and what's about to happen to the people on earth. Verse number 12, all of a sudden the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sea was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. For any of you that's ever been to Alaska, or been, some of you maybe were stationed in the military in Alaska, you know, understand what it is to see the day shortened down. You know, when we were up on the Yukon River, I was told that there were several months during the winter time where they have 2 hours of light every single day. They literally watch the sun crest the horizon and then set about an hour later. In total, they get about 2 hours of light. Well, the whole earth is going to be affected, and the sun will be smitten, third part of the moon and the third part of the stars. So we see that daylight is shortened by one third, as well as the night light that God, that is provided by the moon and the stars. And you know, again, you think of all these judgments, blood. You know what? How guilty are we of shedding innocent blood? I think that that's going to come back and get us. You know what? The men love darkness rather than light. That's what the Bible says. Well, guess what? If that's what you love, that's what you'll get. And so many of these things are the result of God giving people what they say they wanted. You know, the results and consequences of our sins. And then we get to verse number 13. Let's get to the end of the chapter here. And I beheld and heard an angel flying throughout the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe. That's one, two, three. Three woes, folks. How many trumpets have we had so far? We've had four trumpets. How many is left? Three more. Okay, guess what? There is an exclamation point placed at the end of the next three trumpets. The three woes are the last three trumpets. And so all of a sudden, halfway through it, an angel comes and says, so you think this has been bad? By the way, when we get into the, we're going to see two of the last three tonight. All of a sudden, you think this has been bad. You know what? You haven't seen anything yet. By the way, almost everything that's happened, if you look at these, I can almost see here's the tree huggers and the climate people. Now, you know, there's always people trying to explain away the judgment of Almighty God. You know, people say, well, climate has changed. Yeah, I agree with you. Winters are not as severe as when I was a kid. Well, then we need to go to electric cars. Okay, they're always going to try to explain it away. Well, how about this? Bible says that I believe hell's in the interior of the earth, and the Bible says hell hath enlarged itself. You know, they don't want a Bible explanation of why there's climate change. I'm sorry, it's not because you're using plastic straws. Okay, McDonald's, give me my plastic straw, okay? All right, a paper one, they get soggy, and after a while you can't get the stuff to come up through it anyway. But you know, they're all over here saying, looky here, looky here, looky here, here's the world. Always trying to give you an explanation, you know, in the name of science, of why this is happening. But it's almost like, okay, I can see them, okay? You imagine them trying to explain the hail and the fire mingled with the blood? Well, the hail has hit so many birds and killed them in the middle of the, as they're flying, that now it's bird blood. You know, they're always going to try to explain. Well, guess what? What's about to come in chapter number 9? There is no explaining it away. Because all of a sudden, the next two trumpets, folks, are supernatural things. I mean, you know what? I don't care, Hollywood, go make your worst horror movie. Okay, you use all the computer graphics and come up with all of the, you know what? You're never going to come close to touching what the world's going to go through next. Right in the middle of this, an angel comes forward and says, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay, and to the inhabitants, come on, the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. Folks, let's just take a minute and read them. What's the next one? The fifth one, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven upon the earth. And to him, so this star is an angel or a messenger, which sometimes the messengers are referred to as stars in the Bible. We could go back and find that in chapter number 1 of Revelation. To him, so there's a messenger, an angel, some type of an angelic being that comes down from heaven, to the earth, and to him was given, notice this, the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now, what's coming up out of the smoke? And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. So again, as the scorpions. I don't think these are flying scorpions. Again, I think this is John looking at these unbelievable, hideous, watch this, supernatural, demonic creatures that are unleashed right out of the bottomless pit, right out of the center of the earth. And they are going to sting men. And the only thing he can relate it to that we have a reference point to is the same way a scorpion would strike a man or sting a man. Now look at verse 4. And it was commanded them. Wait a minute. If we're going to unleash a bunch of locusts, then what happens when locusts come? In natural locusts, okay? Normal locusts. Locusts that are produced from nature. What happens? Well, they go and they eat the leaves off the trees and they eat up the grass and they destroy the crops. Not these. They're going to have no appetite for any vegetation. They are sent to hunt down and to hurt mankind. Right. Read with me. Watch this. Look in verse number 4. And it was commanded them they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So remember the 144,000? Some of them are still out there. Not all of them have been killed. And these things are being unleashed while they're carrying out their ministry. You know what? As they're being unleashed, I wonder if these 144,000 are walking around with New Testaments open to the book of Revelation and say, do you believe God yet? You know, oh, preacher, that's a bunch of nonsense. And this is all scare tactics. And this is what you preachers do. And it's a bunch of hogwash. And those things are never going to happen. Yeah, those are the same people that are going to be walking around saying, do you believe me now? Do you believe God now? Are you ready to repent now? And it's going to get real. So those 144,000 that have the mark of God in their forehead, isn't it interesting how God, even in the midst of all of these horrible, horrible judgments, God protects his own during this. And so verse number 5, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. So the scorpions, the flying scorpions, these locusts that we're going to have described in great detail in just a moment, okay, are not going to kill anybody. Matter of fact, the Bible goes on in verse 6 and says, in those days men shall seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Verse 5, I didn't finish that, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Preacher, I'm trying to imagine these. Well, get your imagination ready. What do they look like? Verse 7, and the shapes of the locusts were like. And again, you're going to see a lot of like and as, but again, John's doing the best he can. I mean, if we saw unleashed from the pit of hell, from the bottomless pit, demonic beings that we've never seen before, and you're sitting there given the task of trying to describe what you're seeing to people who've never seen it. You know, I always say, God bless John. I think he did the best he could. But I promise you this, this description does not give justice to these things. And so let's read what he said. In verse 7, the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were the crowns of gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. I want you to begin to think about this, okay? They were prepared, they were likened to horses prepared unto battle. On their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of a woman, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, the breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. Again, I ask you before, as best you can, I want you to imagine being on earth. By the way, if you're not saved, you don't have to be on earth. You do not have to go through this. Okay? Don't go through this. Don't walk past what Jesus did. Okay? God loves you, and God proved He loved you, and He sent His Son to die on the cross for you. But you've got to believe that Jesus Christ, in your heart, not in your head. My dad used to say, how many people are going to miss heaven by 18 inches? Oh, I believe in God. I believe in God. Oh, sure, I believe in Jesus. Well, you believe He exists? The devil believes that God exists. The Bible says he believes that. But there's a difference between that, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. Hey, come on, those of us that are saved, listen, we weren't born saved. We're sinners like anybody else. You're no better than anybody else. You're no better than anybody that's not saved. By the grace of God, we could still be there. But you know what? Somebody shared the gospel. Somebody told us that Christ was the Son of God. And by faith, we chose to believe it. Not up here, here. And there's a difference. And believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and was buried and rose again. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, preacher, I might believe that one of these days when I've had my good time and I'm done with everything. And what if you wait till it's too late? What if you wait till it's too late? You know, think about that, all right? And so, wow. And then the hair as the verse number 8, they had hair as the hair of women, and the teeth were as the teeth of lions. They had breastplates that were breastplates of iron. And I got to thinking about this. Can you imagine when these things are unleashed? Can you imagine you're going through all these other things, and all of a sudden you hear something, a noise, and everybody's like, what is that noise? What does it sound like? It sounds like the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And all of a sudden you see these things that are so thick. The Bible says they come up in the smoke and come out of the smoke. And already the skies have been darkened. And out of the darkness, the semi-light of a darkened sun, the semi-light of a darkened moon. Can you imagine these things coming? Verse number 10. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and they had power, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. 5 months, you preacher? 5 months? Yeah, 5 months of this is going to seem like an eternity. And they had a king over them. By the way, this is why I believe, I've heard people try to say, well, you know, I've heard everything. Trust me, I grew up in fundamentalism. I've heard it all. And, you know, they try to equate this to, you know, maybe these locusts are really helicopters. And they're coming from a certain, you know, folks, helicopters don't come out of the bottomless pit. I'm preparing you for that now because the next one, the sixth trumpet, we'll cover it, we'll be done. But the sixth trumpet, a lot of times people want to try to convince themselves it's other than what it says. And I believe that it's just as real, just like there's going to be a demonic plague of locusts unleashed. We'll get there in a second. I believe there's going to be a demonic army of demons on horseback that's going to come with the purpose of extinguishing and killing off a third of the men, the human beings that are left on this planet. We'll get there in just a second. Verse 11, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. By the way, if you look at both those words, they simply mean destroyer. And you know what? Appropriately named. Because for 5 months, they're just going to destroy. That's what they're going to do for 5 months. One woe is past. So see, the first woe is connected to the fifth trumpet. It's an exclamation point on the last three trumpets, okay? One woe is past. Behold, there are two. There come two woes more hereafter. Let's finish the chapter. Let me read it. Again, folks, come on. I want you to think about it. I want you to imagine being here, or imagine that lost loved one being here. Verse 13, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, notice this, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. By the way, folks, these are fallen angels. I believe with all my heart they're fallen angels. Satan convinced a third of the angels of heaven to follow him in his rebellion against Almighty God. And by the way, some of those make up his demonic, Bible doesn't use the word demons anywhere, but his devils, those fallen angels that help him carry out his mission here on earth. Okay, so by the way, if you read about the fallen angels, some of them were reserved in chains of darkness for the last days. Not all of them got to be employed by the devil here on earth. Some of them he bound for the last days, for this last time. Well, guess what? They're about to be unleashed. Listen up, okay? Saying to the, let's see here, where was it? Saying, okay, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Verse 15, and the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen, now think about this, so we have demonic creatures riding demonic horses. Horsemen. This is a demonic cavalry, folks. It's unleashed. How many of them? The Bible is very specific. 200,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Now John sees this. And again, here we go again. God bless John. So he gives us this description. Vision. And them that sat on them. So I saw the horses and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire. Now think about this. And he doesn't say like unto fire there. When he says like or as, it means like or as. When he's very specific, it means what it says. So they have breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. Now, were they exactly like lions? That's the closest thing he could come up with in his description. And out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three, what do I mean these three? The fire, the smoke, and the brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. And their power is in their mouth and in their tails. It's talking about the horses here. For their tails were like unto serpents, and they had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of the wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. So the rest of the men which were not killed by the plagues, folks, and were suffering the locusts and suffering the demonic army, it killed a third of the men. So two-thirds of the men that weren't killed, what's their reaction? Surely they fall on their knees at this point. Surely they said, God, you're right and I'm wrong. And surely they confess their sins. And surely they beg for mercy. And surely they receive Christ as their Savior. Verse 21. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And so, folks, we've seen all of the seals. We've seen six of the seven trumpets. And the men that are left are still blaspheming God. Now, listen, I told you already, and we covered this in chapter number 7, chapter number 6. I think there'll be a great many people saved during the tribulation period. But when we're getting down to this point, you can understand in just a few minutes why God is going to begin to pour out wrath without mixture. At this point, if they're not willing to repent, if they're so full of, come on, their murders, their sorceries, their fornication, their thefts, if they're so full of their sin that they will refuse to repent after seeing all of this, and God sent 144,000 walking around with the Bible saying, come on now, surely you've got to believe, then they've given themselves over to the devil and given themselves over to unbelief. Now, preacher, how should this affect my life tomorrow? I mean, really, what does this matter if we're in heaven? And how should it change my life? Well, let's finish where we started. You know what, folks? When I read the book of the Revelation, I don't want just facts and figures. I don't want just horrendous stories that provoke the imagination. You know what I want? I want God to use this to put fuel in the tank of my Christian life. And I think I might just grab some gospel tracks. Maybe Blessed Old Baptist Church ought to empty the track rack tonight. Maybe we ought to take some of those invite cards and go invite some veterans to come on on the 12th of November. Because folks, yes, we're going to honor them and we're going to thank them, but we're also, and we don't make pretense about anything. This is a gospel preaching church. And anytime we have a chance to get lost folks in, under the preaching of the Bible, we're going to preach the gospel to them. And but you know what? Maybe we ought to just get busy. Hey, bus workers that are just kind of, you know what? Used to go busying, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 hours, and now it's kind of got down to hardly any. Maybe we ought to go back to the 2 or 3 or 4 hours.
Right.
Maybe we ought to make some extra operation occupation people. Maybe it's time to come on. Come on. Let's grab some packets. Let's get out there. Let's knock on some doors. How about this? You know that relative you've been meaning to talk to about Jesus? Maybe it's time to not put it off. By the way, maybe tonight when you get home, you need to make that phone call or you need to sit down and write that letter. I'm just saying, folks, listen to me. I grew up in a time where there was a big emphasis on prophecy on the last times. And I'm going to tell you, I've heard messages like this and had men in our church get in the car afterwards and drive 3 states over and be knocking on the door at 6 o'clock in the morning on the door of a lost brother or a lost sister. And I just wonder, have we just got so used to it? Do we really believe it anymore? Is there anything that can affect Christians anymore to put something in their soul to get them to realize Jesus really could come back?
Yep.
And if you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what? Don't play games with that. Well, when I was a little kid, I said a prayer. I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you, have you ever truly, come on, felt Holy Spirit conviction? We're sorrowful over your sin, and with your heart believed in Jesus Christ, with your heart believed in his death, burial, and resurrection. Because, folks, this isn't anything to play games with. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. This is a sober and serious portion of a very sober and serious book.